Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Jawbone is shutting down to pursue medical tech. The world's first glasses-free holographic phone is coming, and you'll never guess who's releasing it. There's now a self-driving transport truck that doesn't even have a spot for a human driver. Disappointment as Intel plans to cut jobs from its IoT division. A German computer company is spinning a new version of Ubuntu to include on their computers. And update your Linux distro immediately. The new PG crypto library has been cracked. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
there.
If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of July 12, 2017. In May of last year, speaker and fitness tracker company Jawbone ended production of its fitness trackers and started seeking a buyer for its speaker business, leading to speculation that the company was going out of business. Jawbone denied claims that it was shutting down and planned to pivot to medical products for direct sale to clinical practitioners, but that may not have panned out, as the information reports that the business is officially shutting down. Jawbone has reportedly started liquidation proceedings and notices have been sent out to its creditors. Jawbone co-founder and CEO Hossein Rahman has moved on to a new company called Jawbone Health Hub that is designed to make health-related hardware and software services. Many existing Jawbone employees have already transitioned to the new company. Jawbone Health will reportedly service existing Jawbone products, which may allow existing Jawbone customers to get help with their devices. Jawbone has been ignoring customer service requests for several months, making customers unhappy. Starting in January, Jawbone customers were unable to contact Jawbone support, and it did not receive responses to service requests for faulty products. That's unfortunate, especially because I thought about Jawbone when I liked it.
That makes me a little sad in that they were one of our early partners on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Jawbone was, you know, one of our first big sponsors, and we loved working with them. So, so I'm sorry to see them go. And
although, if they're going into a medical field, who knows what will develop from there?
But I don't know that they would liquidate their company if they were planning to continue supporting it. Really?
Wait, but didn't you say that they were looking to use existing products?
They're liquidating the company.
Yeah, they're liquidating.
Right.
So
okay. Maybe I misheard you.
So, I mean, you can buy something and it just won't be supported. Like,
right.
I love their Bluetooth headsets, but...
Oh, they were the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I thought was interesting is their name is Jawbone and they're going to health. It almost sounds like this should be a dental company.
Yeah, that's right.
It stems from their original headsets.
That's right, with a little...
Rather than a standard microphone, which picks up all the noise around you when you're biking or doing
right, exactly.
It came in contact with your jawbone and would sense the vibrations. So as you're talking,
right.
it gets rid of all the background noise.
And I came this close after I bought a Bluetooth headset for biking, and my sister couldn't hear me. She said, all I can hear is wind.
Because it's a microphone version.
Because it's a microphone.
Yeah.
And then you had said, well, what about a jawbone? And I came very close to being, okay, fine, a jawbone. I'll buy one.
Aww.
And now this story.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can still buy one. It'll still work.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just, you know, if it breaks, you can't replace it.
I have two at home.
There's no warranty or whatever, right?
Right. Yeah. True. Red, the company that makes professional digital cameras for shooting Hollywood movies, is making a holographic phone called the Hydrogen. The company is touting the Hydrogen as the world's first holographic media machine and says it doesn't require glasses to see the supposed holograms. The 5.7-inch phone runs Android and pre-orders are available in two tiers. It costs $1,595 for the titanium high-end version and $1,195 for the aluminum slightly lower end version. The phone is planned to ship in the first quarter of 2018. According to Red's announcement, a Hydrogen has a professional Hydrogen holographic display which seamlessly switches between traditional 2D content, 3D content, and interactive games. The screen is, according to the company, capable of displaying holographic Red Hydrogen 4View content, H4V, stereo 3D content, and 2D 3D VR, AR, which is augmented reality, and MR, which is mixed reality. High quality audio is another feature to drool over, with a special algorithm that can reportedly convert stereo sound into 5.1 surround sound. Like the company's modular cinema cameras, the Hydrogen is all about attaching accessories. You can attach camera extras like future attachments for shooting higher quality motion and still images, as well as Hydrogen format holographic images. The caveat? These accessories won't ship at launch. Additionally, the Hydrogen can be connected to the company's Scarlett, Epic, and Weapon cameras as separate control input and camera monitor. And that's basically it. We have no idea what processor it has or how much storage or RAM or anything else about the camera. The teaser image clearly shows a headphone jack, USB-C port, and a rather big and serious-looking camera protruding out of the backside. Red's website says it'll have a micro SD card slot. So, holographic...
That is nuts.
That is the best.
I hate that I take so many pictures with my phone. And now Red comes out with a camera phone that does holograms.
Imagine how much data that's going to take up.
Oh, yeah. It's got to have massive storage. But you consider Red is like the company that all the big movie makers use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, these are high, high-end cameras. You're talking base model, $30,000. Like, nuts.
Really, that's not actually, even though that the price point seems a little bit steep, it's actually not that much money to have a holographic phone camera.
Right.
That's
and it's
it.
Bleeding edge and new tech.
Yeah.
So
if it happened before money, September absolutely. 9th, then people could just watch me in real life get married.
There you go.
Right? I'd just be a hologram.
You just have to get one in time so that they can.
Now, what I like about the photo, and I mean, I don't know if you can throw it back
yeah,
up
sure.
on the screen.
There you go.
That body looks rugged.
It looks slick,
yeah.
too.
Like, you know, and I'm just...
You said it was titanium.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's called titanium.
Oh, okay.
That's right. It's just a really shiny plastic. But, you know, like, it looks like a solid, solid phone. And I don't know, maybe that's just designed to make it look cool. But
it does. It
but,
works.
I mean, even you can see the hexagon screws in there for the body. It's like, man, this thing is just going to withstand everything.
That's a conversation starter. If you walked around with that phone in your hand, you would be the man.
The boss. You're driving a Hummer.
Probably.
Yep.
All right.
You know what's going to be interesting about this, though?
They keep doing this to me.
I know. I'm sorry. It's because I keep having thoughts. This is going to now change the way that we do social media as well.
Sure.
Because you're going to have, like, say, for instance, Facebook. You're going to want to upload holographic images to Facebook. How is this going to factor in? Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to take the tech industry and social media and everything to a whole new level. Because it's going to force change. And what rolls out because of this?
You'll never miss a major life event ever again. And pictures of people's meals will be incredible.
Oh, my.
Chicken
as if you went floating above their phone. You went
nice.
To that. Wow.
Most experts believe the first industry to be upended by autonomous driving will be the trucking sector. What better use case for driverless technology than long-haul trucking, where most of the driving is confined to the highway? The Swedish startup and Ride certainly buys into this vision. It recently unveiled a prototype of a self-driving truck that completely lacks a steering wheel, pedals, a windshield, and, well, the whole cab, really. The all-electric T-Pod is much shorter than your average traditional tractor trailer, clocking in at just 23 feet long, which is likely due to the absence of the cabin. Einride says that the T-Pod will weigh 20 tons at full load, which is comparable to a Class 8 truck. The company says that the T-Pod can be controlled remotely by a human operator or can operate autonomously without human intervention. Einride says that it aims to deliver a complete transport system between Gothenburg to Helsingborg by 2020. This transport system will involve 200 T-Pods with associated charging stations on the route. The system's first route will have a capacity of up to 2 million pallets per year. The full-scale prototype was on hand last week at a week-long Swedish political event which took place on the island of Gotland. That is really great for everyone, except for perhaps long-haul truckers. But I will say, working in the chiropractic industry, they really suffer because of their jobs.
Oh, sure.
So if they could find a healthier profession and somebody else can do that back-breaking, literally, job, that would be perfect.
See, and I'm thinking of, you know, if they roll this out into other countries, like take, for instance, the issues that we're starting to hear about with, you know, the sensors where it's, you know, maybe not able to pick up light or something, or you've got animals on the road. How is this going to affect insurance liability if, as a trucker, what happens if your truck goes off the road and all of that product is lost? Where does that play into it? You know, there's things that definitely come with it, but very, very interesting.
Very neat, eh?
I could see a fleet of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and then where does it end? Like, trains would be next, I guess, and
yeah,
like it just makes sense because it, because you think about like a long haul driver is really driving in a straight line for hours and hours at the same speed in a lot of cases, unless you hit traffic, but
away
really,
from family and yeah,
but you're just driving.
It's, yeah,
it's
you
not
might as well.
It's not like you're in and out of traffic. No, you're pretty much just driving in a straight line.
Imagine somebody at the border control, you know, between countries and truck rolls up, and I need to see your papers, please.
They'd have it all taken.
They probably have to scan a barcode and the papers upload or something.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder if it's to be, you know, only local shipping within a confined country, unless you've got open borders like you would have in the EU.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
be interesting.
We'll have to see. Interesting indeed.
Intel is shedding nearly 140 staff from its Internet of Things business lines. The layoffs were probably inevitable since during June, Intel discontinued three of its IoT product lines, the Joule, Edison, and Galileo compute modules and boards. Those three boards were once the flagships for Chipzilla's pitch to the wearable and maker markets. The Silicon Valley Business Journal says 100 of the layoffs will be in Santa Clara. Another 40 staff will be cut in the company's office in Lexlip, Ireland. The IoT division turned in $721 million U.S. in the first quarter revenue this year, up to 11% year-on-year, but overall, that's less than 5% of Intel's sales. Intel employs roughly 106,000 worldwide. So it's interesting to hear of tech jobs, like Internet of Things. You think that's huge. You think that's big, right? And then now they're cutting jobs.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning behind it is, but it's certainly, if it's such a small portion of your business, maybe you're in the wrong, you know, focusing assets and things into the wrong place.
Right, but see, when I hear this story, I'm wondering, okay, what's the undercurrent? Because it was 100 and some odd jobs, you said?
140, yeah.
140 jobs, but their revenue is up 11% year over year. Mm-hmm. So the revenue's going up, they're getting rid of jobs, so that tells me that it's some sort of amalgamation either of roles or an updated technology that has made some jobs obsolete. That would be my guess.
Robots?
It could be robots. You know, they've laid off Sasha's grandma from making food in the kitchen. Now they've got the kitchen robot.
Never going to hear
it. It was a legacy thing. My grandmother is not alive, but wouldn't it be great if before she died, she was able to, like, save her recipes?
I feel like I've heard this before.
Okay,
you have.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, it's just when you go through the story, that's what it sounds like to me, is this is amalgamation in order to save profits. I mean, not minimizing, it's 140 people. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, laying off 50% of the company to save cost measures. This sounds like, you know, hey, we've, you know, made some improvements.
Mm-hmm.
So, which would make investors happy.
That's true. I
suppose so.
Tuxedo, a German computer company selling a range of Linux laptops, has announced it is launching its own Ubuntu-based Linux distro. We've done our best with Google Translate, and in their announcement they say, "We have been working on this project for several months. We have been thinking about the usability of the desktop, have included user feedback in our considerations, and made some surveys on desktop usage. The computer outfit plans to ship an in-house Xubuntu Spin pre-installed on its devices. That Spin is called, somewhat confusingly, Tuxedo Xubuntu 16.04 LTS. They say, what we have done is deliver a desktop that is strongly adapted to the needs of our users, with our own theme, own icons, own boot logo, and the latest firmware, the latest NVIDIA drivers, if necessary, and Linux kernel 4.11 pre-installed.
Wow.
Yeah. Not to mention our configuration adjustments on grub and optimizations to other system relevant files. This modified image is said to deliver a much lower memory usage, lower even than Ubuntu Mate, and improved battery life. Hard to imagine, but the company tested its Infinity Book Pro 13 with Linux Mint 18.1, which gave a battery life of 6 hours, and its Ubuntu fork, which saw the Ultrabook last almost twice as long, clocking up nearly 12 hours.
That's unreal.
That is crazy.
I just want to say, this is one of the things that I love about Linux. Now, Tuxedo aside, you know, because some people will say, they're using Ubuntu and they're making changes and they're making claims. And that's always the case whenever anyone does a spin, right? But fact is, they can take the operating system,
mm-hmm.
spin it to their own branding,
mm-hmm.
do changes to it, improve it. For those who aren't aware of what Sasha's saying there, this is pretty bleeding edge. Like, they've got the brand new cutting edge kernel in there. Like,
yeah.
And so, you know, it's pretty up to date as far as that goes. But I love that Linux and Linux users can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Take it, make it their own, and then customize it and distribute it and share it. And really, all they're doing is improving exposure to desktop Linux.
Yes.
It is true.
Which, that's a win.
So good on them. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Now, Linux users need to check out their distributions to see if a nasty bug in libgcrypt 20 has been patched. The software fix, which has landed in Debian and Ubuntu, addresses a side channel attack published last week. The researchers published their work at the International Association for Cryptologic Research's ePrint archive last week. What they found is that the libgcrypt library uses what's called sliding windows, a method for carrying out the mathematics of cryptography, but one that's known to leak data. The researchers looked at the left-to-right sliding window calculation in libgcrypt, in which the sliding window data was leak was tolerated because it was believed only part of the key was recoverable. What they found was an unpleasant surprise, a complete break in the library's RSA 1024. They say, "We show for the first time that the direction of the encoding matters. The pattern of squarings and multiplications in left-to-right sliding windows leaks significantly more information about the exponent than right-to-left. The fix can be added to either Debian or Ubuntu, as well as potentially other distros, by running an upgrade on the libgcrypt 20 package." So make sure that you do that.
You know what? Just to be safe, apt upgrade, apt update, and then apt upgrade. And just, you know, for good measure, apt dist-upgrade. That'll update all your packages and everything, and that way you know you're safe, because you don't want to have something like a cryptography exploit running wild in your system.
Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.